let's say good morning at 7:07 to Angela Speed. Angela is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the Wisconsin Humane Society. And good morning, Angela.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning and happy holidays.
Yes, same to you. You know what the best part about freezing cold weather is? When you pick up the poop in the backyard, it's frozen, very easy to pick up.
I agree wholeheartedly, having two dogs myself.
Yeah, it's just easy. It comes out. It's like little biscuits. You get to pick them right up. And let's talk about the cold weather first off, because like hot weather, I mean, the extremes for animals, they don't like them. Now, I mentioned before you got on the air, all the pets. Obviously, goldfish you don't want outside in the freezing cold, because that won't end well for them. Now, dogs, they can take some of the cold, but I was telling you before we got on the air, when I used to walk my beagles, they used to lift their, when it was freezing cold out, like 10 degrees, not even below zero. I never walked them when it was extremely cold, but if it was like moderately, you know, they just want to get out. They used to start picking their paws up off the sidewalk one at a time, and I know, time to get out of here, because they don't like the cold on their paws when it's 10 degrees. And I guess all dogs are different. But everybody thinks because they have fur, they never get cold. But they get cold,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And those little paw pads are especially sensitive. When we do see dogs come in with frostbite, it's typically at the ears, the tip of the ears, the tail, or the paw pads, because those are some of the most sensitive parts of their body that get cold fastest. And, you know, if you have a working dog, like a Great Pyrenees, they might be more accustomed to the cold, but every dog is different. Even some of those, like, Arctic breeds, some of them actually don't like the cold. So you really have to just watch for those cues, like your dog would give you, that, hey, it's time to come inside. And looking at the forecast this week, the next few days seem pretty warm, and then we're in for a pretty significant cold snap. And when it's, you know, 10 degrees out or below, at the Humane Society, we just take dogs outside for a quick potty break and then back inside, just to not risk frostbite or hypothermia. But definitely watch for your own dog's cues. Some of them can tolerate the cold. Some of them will not go outside.
You know, when I had a Pomeranian, she was a little tiny puffball. Whenever it snowed, she couldn't wait to get outside. She used to jump in and burrow through it. I mean, she used to go under the snow so you couldn't see her. Her head would pop up. Then she'd go back down again and burrow some more. But some dogs love the snow. So I like the cold. And my Pomeranian just loved the snow. She couldn't wait to get outside. She's burrowing through it, rolling in it. And sometimes you couldn't see her because she'd get under the snow. And then you call her name and her head would pop up somewhere. That snow, she'd go back down again. Some dogs don't like it, though. I know it's hard to believe, but, you know.
Yeah. And the other thing to remember is you never leave your pet in the car when it's cold. They can quickly become like a refrigerator. And cats should always be inside. And watch for signs of frostbite. And typically that'll be pale or gray skin, pain or swelling. If you suspect frostbite, make sure to get your animal slowly warmed up and then call your vet right away. And also antifreeze this time of year. It's really sweet and actually attracts animals, and it's highly lethal if it's ingested. So make sure you clean up any spills immediately, or if you see a pool of antifreeze, keep your animals far, far away.
Now, cats. I had a cat years ago, but we never let the cat out of the house. The cat was a house cat, and that was it, because I didn't want to take any chances of her getting in trouble or getting hit by a car. So she just stayed in the house. She never went outside, and that was just the way we did it. We didn't have a fenced-in yard where she can run around. Even when you have a fenced-in yard, they can climb. So my cat was pretty safe, but a lot of people just open the door and let their cats out. How safe is that? I mean, it just sounds dangerous.
There are a lot of risks to house cats being let outside, and from vehicle accidents, getting lost, weather conditions, owls, you know, but large predator birds. There's a lot of dangers out there, so we do recommend that you always keep your cat inside. And certainly there are some cats who are working cats, like working at barns or stables, and those are hardy cats, but they always have, you know, food, water, and shelter. So if you have an indoor house cat, the safest place for them is always inside.
You know, talking about working dogs, I watch all these cop shows on TV, these live police shows, and that when they bring a canine out to sniff for drugs or guns, how do they know that? They had I think it was Dateline the other day I was watching, and they arrested a guy, and he said, "I don't have any guns." And they searched his car. They couldn't find any guns in the car. And it just happened that there was a canine handler giving a demonstration not far away. And they said, can you come over here? I want your dog to just check out this car. The dog went in the car, sniffed the console, and sat down. They took apart the console, and there was the gun.
Wow.
That dog found the gun where six cops couldn't find it. The dog found it right away. Isn't that something?
It really is. Dogs are impressive, and I feel like we're still learning how amazing of creatures they are. They're so smart.
And people say, well, you know, you're making them work. They like doing it. That's what they train for. They have a good time. Or even when they use them for tracking a bad person, they love it. When they finally find the bad person, they're happy. They're dancing around because they did it. I love that. Okay. Let's talk about matching donations. The Wisconsin Humane Society, I always give money every 6 months to a whole bunch of charities, mostly animal charities. I also give to disabled vets and Boys Town in Nebraska. But my number one thing is Alley Cats they have. I have Best Friends, the Guiding Eyes charity. I always try to give, and of course, Wisconsin Humane Society is on there as well. So we just put cash in an envelope every 6 months to all these charities. Actually, it's every 4 months. To all these charities, and mostly animal ones, because they put those pictures on the cover of the envelopes. And I said, all right. But I always check them out on Charity Navigator to make sure they're on the level. And I've never run to a charity that wasn't. They give them ratings, you know, how many stars and where the money goes. So far, so good. And also the equine people for horses, I give to them, too, for some reason. But, yeah, give, you know... It goes to such a good cause. You know, there's so many good charities out there. At least make an animal charity one of yours, and the Wisconsin Humane Society right here at home. And you have branches. How many branches around the state?
We have six shelters. Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Green Bay, and Door County.
I watch these videos on Facebook, and one of my favorites is... They hold up a little tiny sign that says, you've been adopted, and they're walking down the shelter, and they come to the kennel, and they lean over to the dog, and they put the sign up, you've been adopted, and the dog can't understand them, but starts going crazy, because now they've been adopted for a new forever home. But what makes me sad is they have to walk past all the other dogs to get to the one they adopted, and they're all looking. They all have their faces against the cages, hoping it's them. I wish I could take them all home. I wish I could. If I could, if I had $1 billion, I'd buy a giant farm, fence it in, you can run all day as much as you want. I would do that. I just, because I love animals. All right, coming up in just a moment here, I'm going to tell you about my newest granddaughter. My wife and I are trying to figure out our relationship with this dog. We'll talk about that. Plus, we want to talk about fostering animals. That would be tough for me because when you foster an animal, you got to give them up. And I wouldn't give them up. I'd keep them. I mean, once you look into their eyes and they like you, because all dogs, I mean, eventually they'll warm up to you. These videos where they find dogs along the roadside that are like all emaciated, they bring them home. And over a course of a few weeks, that dog's running around the yard, sitting on the new owner's lap. You know, so.
It's. Magical moments, that human-animal bond. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll talk about fostering and also your food bank and the vaccination clinic, all that stuff coming up with Angela Speed, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the Wisconsin Humane Society. W-R-J-N. Talking to Angela Speed from the Wisconsin Humane Society. Let's talk about fostering animals. And that's different than owning the animals. It's kind of a temporary thing. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so at the Wisconsin Humane Society, about, I would say, like 60 to 70% of the animals actually come to us with some sort of medical or behavior condition where they're not ready for adoption yet. And we know that animals heal faster and do better in a home. And so we have these incredible foster parents who will take them into their homes. Sometimes it's just a couple days. Other times it's literally months. To foster those animals. We had over 6,000 animals go to foster last year where they grew up. Sometimes they're, you know, neonatal kittens. And then as soon as they're ready for adoption, the foster parents can either adopt them out themselves or they can return to the shelter. And it absolutely is huge to expand our life-saving care for animals. And we are always looking for new foster parents. I've done it. It's a ton of fun. You get sometimes you get a puppy fix for a couple of weeks, and then you can return them for adoption. And it's really easy to sign up and get started. Once you're signed up, you get to see like the whole list of all the animals looking for foster, and you can kind of pick and choose. And if you're on the fence about adopting, it's a really great way to see how another animal will do in your home and interact with your other animals. Foster parents can, they really range from single people, whole families. Just about anybody can foster an animal, and you don't need much space.
Do you find many of the times that the people fostering the animal at the end don't want to give it up?
Absolutely. Yeah. We welcome foster fails who decide that, they just can't return the animal. They've just fallen in love and it's a great fit and they adopt. And foster parents do get first dibs on adopting if that happens. And we welcome that. That's a great placement.
Back in about 1968, I won a dog on the radio, a little puppy on the radio. They said it was a Cocker Spaniel, but it was this dog. I never even saw a Cocker Spaniel. Anyway, it was a puppy we got. Now, we already had a dog at the time. My mother said, we're not going to have two dogs, so we're going to give this one up. So we had the dog, and our neighbors across the street had a couple of friends over that wanted to see the dog, and they fell in love with it. They said, we'll take the dog. So when they were done with their visit, they came over to get the dog. My mother said, we changed our mind. And we had that and we had that puppy for 14 years. My mother fell in love with it over the next 2 days. And I'm not giving this dog up.
So we had to be.
So we had Peanut. This dog wasn't a Cocker Spaniel. I don't know what they were talking about. I think they, radios lie about prizes all the time. You know how that works. Okay, let's talk about the food bank, the vaccine clinic, and other community services you guys offer.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure to mention our low-cost vaccine clinics. We know that vet care can be unattainable or unaffordable, and a great New Year's resolution is to get your cat or dog vaccinated if they've fallen behind, and it's only $16 for a core vaccine. That's rabies or your DHPP for dogs, and then your feline distemper for cats. And we offer those. The next one in Racine is coming up on Thursday, January 16th. You can go to our website, make an appointment. It's really fast and easy and very affordable. We also offer microchipping for $25 at those vaccine clinics. And then another service I wanted to mention is we have a pet food pantry that is open to anyone who's struggling to afford food or supplies for their animals. And that pet food pantry is at all of our locations. We typically have some dog food, and cat litter, but we also depend on donations to stock those shelves. And those shelves are running pretty bare right now. And so if you are in a position where you can donate a bag of food or cat litter, that would be incredibly welcome this time of year.
Well, the Rosens are going to be donating some food, Ben. The question is, What do you like, dry, are they wet canned food? What's the best to get?
I would say dry dog kibble and canned cat food are the two most in need items, and then cat litter.
Yeah, and we have the brand they make here. I forget the brand of it already. They make it here in Wisconsin. Trying to remember the brand of it.
From?
Yes, Fromm's, right. Fromm's, yeah, we get Fromm's, and we like that. So we'll get a couple of bags. Smaller bags or the big giant ones? You like smaller ones?
Whatever you can lift. Okay. We will take any food.
Okay, so the Rosens will be dropping some off in the next week or so. Aww. Here. We're going to hand it over to the pet store, get my coupons, and use them all up. They'll say, oh, gee, I didn't know you got another dog. Just mind your business, and here's my money for the dog food. Now, I was telling you, we are now grandparents, or aunt and uncle, I don't know how the family tree works, to a neighbor's dog. He brings it over every week. It's a pit bull. She is one of the most sweetest animals I've ever was with. Even all my own dogs were just never this sweet. It's just a wonderful animal. The problem is she's very powerful. So when she comes to the yard, she tries to jump on me, and she'll knock me over because pit bulls are really powerful. But she's just a sweetheart, and I love that dog. So I think my wife and I are grandparents. Grandma and grandpa.
You get to spoil the dog and have fun with the dog. That's wonderful. How old is Juniper?
Juniper's 4, we think. It's a rescue dog. And so they think she's about 4 years old. Now, here's the thing. We we brought up our old doggy beds. We got them washed, all cleaned, and we went out to the store and bought very durable toys because we had a toy that all our beagles used to play with. This dog tore it apart in just a few seconds because she's powerful. So we got this really good toy that she can tear apart. So, and one other thing about toys, I got to tell you, I watched this video on YouTube. And at Christmas time, they had a lineup of about 100 toys. And at the shelter, each dog is allowed to go through and pick out a toy. And it's amazing. They go look and look. They pick one out and they run back. They pick one out, they run back. I mean, it's really, the dogs walk down the line examining all the toys. Then they pick one out and they run back into their kennel because they don't want anybody else to get the toy. All right, so let's do a quick review here. Cold weather safety. And what's the temperature we're looking at? Are all dogs and cats different?
It's definitely different for your golden retriever versus your chihuahua. Rule of thumb, just keep a close eye on them. And when it gets bitter cold, you really just want to take your dogs out for short potty breaks and right back inside.
Okay. Let's talk about, and goldfish don't go out in the cold because...
Never take your goldfish outside.
No, the water won't do well. End of year, the giving, they have a matching thing going on, right?
We do until midnight tomorrow. Every donation is being matched up to $50,000.
Whoa!
I know. It's next 48 hours only, though. So if you're in a position to make a monetary donation, that donation will be doubled right now.
Okay, if you want to foster an animal, you go down to your local Wisconsin Humane Society. We have one. There's one in Racine, I know. I know where it is. Yep. I don't know the street address, but I can find it.
Yeah, we're in 16th Street in Mount Pleasant, and it's our newest facility.
Oh, it's new, yeah.
This location. And then also we're in Kenosha on 60th Avenue, too.
Yeah, I know. There was a different one. Okay, so that's new. Okay, good. And the food bank, you can drop off food anytime. Animals, you want cat food, you want cat litter, you want dog food, canned for cat, and dry dog food, kibble for dogs, which is probably the best deal. And how about toys? You want toys, too?
Oh, always. Especially those durable toys like your friend Juniper likes.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a lot of heavy chewers, and it keeps them kind of happy and healthy when they're awaiting new homes. Kongs are great. Any sort of cat toys, not catnip, though. And the shelter animals absolutely live for their toys.
Okay. I want you to call me anytime you've got a program or a need for something. You call me first, Angela. We'll make sure we get it on the radio, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Don.
Oh, we'd love having you here. Angela Speed, she is the Vice President of the Marketing and Communications for the Wisconsin Humane Society. Right on 16th Street, they have a brand new facility here in Racine. And in Kenosha, they've got one, so you could drop off food, donations, whatever you want, and they'll be glad to take it because the residents there... can't wait. They just want those toys and they want that food. And you have a good, happy new year, Angela. Thank you very much for coming in.
You as well. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.